Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Through the Bible with Joe McGee. We're taking book by book as it happened, chronological order. So we've left over, got the story of Moses and Exodus, and then it's one great story. So we're going to pick up in chapter 6 of Exodus, verse 2. The Lord God said to Moses, I am Yahweh, the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, I appeared to Jacob, I appeared to Isaac, as El Shaddai, God Almighty. I did not reveal my name, Yahweh, to them. I reaffirmed my covenant with them. Under its terms, I promised to give them the land of Canaan, where they were living as foreigners. You can be sure that I have heard the groans of the people of Israel. Now they are slaves to the Egyptians. I am well aware of my covenant with them. Now, what's going to happen? You got to realize God isn't moved by pity. He's got moved by circumstance. He's not moved by circumstance. He's moved by his word. And so that's why you got to meditate. It says, meditate the word day and night, and then you'll prosper and have good success. So he's saying here, God's telling him, listen, I'm well aware of my covenant with them. Verse 6 of chapter 6. Therefore, say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression. I will rescue you from slavery in Egypt. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my own people. I will be your God. Not a lot of eyes in there, people. That'd be a good poster to make on the wall somewhere. God said, this is going to be good. He said, then you will know that I am the Lord your God who has freed you from your oppression in Egypt. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as your very own possession, for I am the Lord. So Moses told the people of Israel what the Lord said, but they refused to listen anymore. They'd become too discouraged by the brutality of their slavery. Then the Lord said to Moses, go back to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Tell him to let the people go and leave this country. Verse 12, but Lord, Moses objected, my own people won't listen to me anymore. How can I expect Pharaoh to listen? I am such a clumsy speaker. Yeah, but somebody talk about that. I can't do this, and I'm too weak. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I can't talk. I can't. And we all make excuses. God's not looking for strong people. God's looking for somebody to show himself strong in and through. That's what God's looking for. Not looking for strong people. He wants somebody he can be strong in. Said, my own people won't listen to me anymore. How can I expect Pharaoh to listen? I'm such a clumsy speaker. But the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them these orders for the Israelites and for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The Lord commanded Moses and Aaron to lead the people out of Egypt. These are the ancestors of some of the clans of Israel. They give such a long line. The descendants of Reuben, descendants of Gad, all the descendants are listed. God's always so detailed. And then and it tells who the descendants married, why, who's related to who. God is a very detailed God. Then in verse 25, these are the ancestors of the Levite families listed according to their clans. And then Aaron and Moses' names are in the list, the same ones the Lord has spoken to lead the people out. He said, it was Moses and Aaron who spoke to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, after leading the people of Israel out of Egypt. When the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, he said to him, I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, everything I'm telling you. Moses argued with the Lord, saying, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm a clumsy speaker. Now, he repeatedly said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm a clumsy speaker. I can't talk. I can't do this. Why should Pharaoh listen to me? As a parent, we've all done this. We've all dealt with it. We've all heard it from our kids. I can't. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I can't make the team. I can't make first chair flute. I can't make the band. I can't make the orchestra. I can't make the play. I'm not enough. Because the devil shows up the minute you leave your mother's womb, calling you stupid, ignorant, and dumb. He's called the accuser of the brethren. I taught parenting for years, and I said, man, I learned a lot teaching that parenting class every Sunday afternoon. I learned the devil lies the minute you leave your mother's womb. That's why by the time a kid turns 12, 18, you know, he becomes a teenager, he doesn't want to attempt anything. What's he doing? He's trying to avoid looking stupid. humans hate looking stupid. Well, the Bible said God loves people who people are fake. I want somebody that'll stick their neck out further than they can hold it up. So we're supposed to raise a mighty seed. Psalm 112. My seed needs to be mighty upon this planet. Wealth and riches need to be in their house. Their righteousness is going to do it forever. God expects us to raise up a group of people that look totally different than everybody else on this planet. So, chapter 7, verse 1 of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, pay close attention to this. I will make you seem like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. Tell Aaron everything I command you, and Aaron must command Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go and leave the country. But I will make Pharaoh's heart stubborn, so I can multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Now he's telling me, you go say what I'm going to say. You tell him what I tell you to say. Now he's not going to listen, but you tell him. But he's not going to listen. But you tell him. But he's not going to listen. But you tell him. But he, it's like, God, you, what kind of sense of humor do you have? He says, even though Pharaoh will refuse to listen, I will bring down my fist on Egypt. Then I will rescue my forces, my people, the Israelites, from the land of Egypt with great acts of judgment. Then I will raise my powerful hand, bringing out the Israelites. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So Moses and Aaron just did what the Lord had commanded. Moses was 80 years old. Aaron was 83 when they made the demands to Pharaoh. They can imagine Pharaoh, two old men are threatening me. These crazy two old men are threatening the most powerful man on planet Earth. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Pharaoh will demand, show me a miracle. When he does this, say to Aaron, take your staff, throw it down in front of Pharaoh, and it will become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did what the Lord had commanded. Then Aaron threw down a staff before Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh called his own wise men and sorcerers, these Egyptian magicians, to do the same thing with their magic. They threw down their staff, which also became snakes, serpents. But then Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Pharaoh's heart, however, remained hard. He still refused to listen, just as the Lord had predicted. Verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is stubborn, still refuses to let people go. So go to Pharaoh in the morning, and he goes down to the river, stand by the bank of the Nile, and meet him there. Be sure to take along the staff that turned into a snake. Then announce to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to tell you, let my people go so they can worship me in the wilderness. Until now, you have refused to listen. So this is what the Lord God says. I will show you that I am the Lord. I will strike the water of the Nile with this staff in my hand, and the river will turn to blood. The fish in it will die. The river will stink. The Egyptians will not be able to drink any water from the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, take your staff, raise your hand over the water of Egypt. All of its rivers, canals, ponds, and reservoirs, turn all the water to blood. Everywhere in Egypt, the water will turn red, even the water stored in the wooden bowls and stone pots. Verse 20, so Moses and Aaron did just what the Lord commanded. As Pharaoh and his officials watched, Aaron raised his staff, struck the water of the Nile. Suddenly, the whole river turned to blood. The fish in the river died. The water became so foul that the Egyptians couldn't drink it. There was blood everywhere throughout the land of Egypt. But again, the magicians of Egypt used their magic. They too turned water into blood. But Pharaoh's heart remained hard. He refused to listen to Moses and Aaron, just the Lord had predicted. Pharaoh returned to his place and put the whole thing out of his mind. Then the Egyptians dug along the riverbank to find drinking water, but they couldn't drink the water from the Nile. 7 days go by from the time the Lord's had struck the Nile. Chapter 8 of verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, go back to Pharaoh. Announce to him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go so they can worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will send a plague of frogs across the entire land. The Nile River will swarm with frogs. They will come out of the river and into your palace, even into your bedroom and into your bed. They will enter the houses of your officials and your people. They will jump into your ovens and the kneading bowls. Frogs will jump on you, your people, and your officials. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron to raise a staff in your hand over the rivers and the canals and the ponds, and bring frogs up out of the land. So Aaron raised the hand over the waters of Egypt, and frogs came up and covered the whole land. I mean, that's just powerful. Frogs covered the whole land, but the magicians were able to do the same thing with their magic. They too caused frogs to come up out of the land unto the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and begged, "Please, plead with the Lord, take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let your people go so you can offer a sacrifice to your Lord." "You set the time," Moses replied. "Tell me when you want me to pray for you, your officials, and all your people. Then you and your houses will be rid of the frogs, and they will remain only in the Nile River." "Do it tomorrow," Pharaoh said. "All right," Moses replied. "It'll be just like you said. Then you will know there is no one like the Lord our God." The frogs, they're going to leave you. It's going to be something. You're going to notice. They're going to, matter of fact, they're going to make a movie about it in about 2,000 years. The frogs will leave your houses. They'll leave your officials. They'll leave your people. They'll remain only in the Nile River. So Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh's palace, and Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs that he had inflicted on Pharaoh. And the Lord did just what Moses had predicted. The frogs in the houses, the courtyards, the fields, all died. The Egyptians piled them up in great heaps, and such a great, terrible stench filled the land. You imagine piles and piles and piles of dead frogs. Whew, man. But when Pharaoh saw that the relief had come, he became stubborn. He refused to listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had predicted. So the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, raise your staff and strike the ground. The dust will turn to swarms of gnats throughout the land of Egypt." So Moses and Aaron just what the Lord had commanded. And when Aaron raised his hand and struck the ground, his staff, the gnats infested the entire country, covering the Egyptians, their animals. It's like the dust of Egypt had turned to gnats. Pharaoh's magicians tried to do the same thing with their secret arts, but this time they failed. This is the first time the Egyptians couldn't do any magic. It failed, and gnats covered everyone, people and animals alike. "This is the finger of God," the magicians exclaimed to Pharaoh. But Pharaoh's heart remained hard. He wouldn't listen to them, just as God had predicted. Verse 20, then the Lord told Moses, "Get up early in the morning. Stand in Pharaoh's ways. He heads down to the Nile River. This is what the Lord God says. Let my people go so they can worship me. If you refuse, I will send swarms of flies on you and your officials, people, and all the houses. The Egyptian homes will be filled with flies, and the ground will be covered with them. But this time, I will spare the region of Goshen, where my people live. No flies in the land of Goshen. Then you will know that I am the Lord, the God, that I am perfect, even in the heart of your land. I will make clear distinction between my people and your people. The miraculous signs will happen tomorrow." Verse 24, the Lord did just as he had said. A thick swarm of flies filled Pharaoh's palace, the houses of his officials. The whole land of Egypt was just thrown into chaos by flies. Pharaoh called to Moses and Aaron, "Look, all right, go ahead. Go offer sacrifice to your God, but do it here in the land." Moses replied, "That wouldn't be right. The Egyptians detest the sacrifices we offer, Lord our God. If we offer sacrifices where the Egyptians can see us, they will stone us. We must make a 3-day trip into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, just as he's commanded us." All right. Okay, go ahead, Pharaoh said. "I'll let you go to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God, but don't go too far away. Now, hurry and pray for me." Moses answered, "As soon as I leave, I will pray to the Lord, and tomorrow the swarms of flies will disappear and from you and your officials and all your people. But I'm warning you, Pharaoh, don't lie to us again if you refuse to let the people go sacrifice to the Lord." So Moses left Pharaoh's palace, pleaded with the Lord to remove the flies, and the Lord did as Moses asked and caused the swarms of flies to disappear from Pharaoh, his officials, and his people. Not a single fly remained. But Pharaoh again became stubborn and refused to let the people go. Man, is this not a chess game? Back and forth and back and forth. Chapter 9, verse 1. "Go back to Pharaoh," the Lord commanded Moses. Tell them this is what the Lord God of the Hebrews says. Let my people go so they can go worship me. If you continue to hold them and refuse to let them go, the hand of the Lord will strike all your livestock, your horses, your donkeys, your cattle, your camels, your sheep, your goats with a deadly plague. But the Lord will again make a distinction between the livestock of the Israelites and the livestock of the Egyptians. Not a single one of the Israelites' animals will die. The Lord had already set the time for the plague to begin, and he had declared that he would strike the land tomorrow. And the Lord did just as he said. The next morning, all the livestock of the Egyptians died. Did you understand that statement? All of the livestock, all. Can you imagine being in Texas and owning a big cattle ranch, or man, be up there in Oklahoma, have a big cattle ranch, and all of a sudden you get up and all the cattle are dead? You think, my God, this got to be a curse from God. All of them were dead. Not a single animal was left alive. Pharaoh sent his officials to investigate. They discovered that the Israelites had not lost a single animal. But even so, Pharaoh's heart remained stubborn. He still refused to let the people go. Verse 8, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from a brick kiln. Have Moses toss it in the air while Pharaoh watches. The ashes will spread like dust over the whole land, causing festering boils to break out on the people and the livestock throughout the land. So they took soot from a brick kiln. They went and they stood before Pharaoh. As Pharaoh watched, Moses threw the soot into the air, and boils broke out on the people and animals alike. Even the magicians were unable to stand before Moses because the boils had broken out on them and all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, just as God had predicted. Pharaoh refused to listen. Verse 13, then the Lord said to Moses, go up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh and tell him this. This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so they can worship me. If you don't, I will send more plagues on you and your officials and your people. Then you will know that there is no one like me on the earth. By now, I could have lifted my hand and struck you and your people with a plague and wiped you off the face of the earth. But I spared you for a purpose, to show you my power, to spread my fame throughout the earth. But you still lorded over my people and refused to let them go. So tomorrow at this time, I will send a hailstorm more devastating than in the history of Egypt. Quick, order your livestock and your servants to come in from the fields. Find shelter for any person or animal left outside, for they will die when the hail falls. Well, some of Pharaoh's officials were afraid because of what the Lord had said. They quickly brought in their servants and livestock from the fields. But those who paid no attention to the word of the Lord left their side in the crops. Then the Lord said to Moses, lift your hand toward the sky, so hail may fall on all the people and livestock and all the plants throughout the land of Egypt. So Moses lifted his staff toward the sky. The Lord sent thunder and hail and lightning flashed toward the earth. The Lord sent a tremendous hailstorm against the land of Egypt. Never in all the history of Egypt had there been such a storm like this one. So devastating hail, continuous lightning, it left Egypt in ruins. The hail struck down everything in the open field. People, animals, plants alike, even the trees were destroyed. The only place with that hail was the region of Goshen, where the people of Israel lived. Verse 27. Then Pharaoh quickly summoned Moses and Aaron. Okay, this time I've sinned. He confessed. The Lord is the righteous one. My people and I are wrong. Please beg the Lord to end this terrible thunder and hail. We've had enough. I will let your people go. You won't need to stay here any longer. Verse 29. All right, Moses replied. As soon as I leave the city, I will lift my hands and I will pray to the Lord, and the thunder and the hail will stop. But you will know that the earth belongs to the Lord. But you know that your officials still do not fear the Lord. Verse 31, all the flax and barley were ruined by the hail. Because the barley had performed heads and the flax was budding, but the wheat and the imminent wheat were spared because they had not yet sprouted from the ground. So Moses left Aaron and Pharaoh. He went out of the city. He lifted his hands to the Lord and thunder and hail stopped. The downpour ceased, And when Pharaoh saw the rain and the hail and the thunder had stopped, he and his officials sinned again. And Pharaoh again became stubborn because his heart was hard. And Pharaoh refused to let the people go, just as God had predicted he would. So here we go again, over and over and over. You know why the story's in the Bible? Because people have not changed. Sin is selfish. When you're born, we're all born a sinner. We're all born I, me. And you got to get born again and spirit filled to realize life's not about me. It's about other people. That's why Jesus said, you know, you want to be blessed, be a blessing. Sow some seed, extend a helping hand, go the second mile. Don't just give your shirt, give your coat. So God's told us how to live successfully on this alien planet. And if we do it, he will do exactly what he said. So we're going to pick this up next time. We'll be back. We're going to find out what happens toward the end of this plague, and it gets real exciting. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.